equipment. So excavators and skid steers and cranes that go in the back of trucks. And we have sites here in the UK. We have a manufacturing site in China, and we have a couple of sites in Australia and also one site in the USA. So we're quite a global business. And we supply our products all around the world, mainly through distributors. It's very important to us that we connect the employees in the different sites together, that we work as a global team.
Yes, it does. So you're covering time zones, you're covering different geographical locations. I'd say, you know, that in itself can present its own challenges.
Absolutely. We've got challenges of time zones and of course of language as well with the Chinese team. So we have to be very active in the way we have communication between the sites, in the way we measure our performance and we spot our opportunities and our risks in the business. And we've always recognized the need to invest in our IT to enable that for us.
Well, that's an interesting one because we, I suppose, looking back, we've had the pleasure of working with you for nearly 8 years now. And when you mentioned IT, I suppose initially IT used to be thought of, you know, let's get the invoices done, let's manage our stock. But you've just raised it a wee bit higher about, you know, making sure it's almost fit for purpose to help you guys. I mean, what sort of challenges have you found that you needed technology to help address?
A lot of the challenges started in the traditional area, so the logistics, the finance, the reporting functions, and we've gradually, with yourselves, rolled out Sage 200 across the business, and each of our sites has acted like a small business, so we've needed the technology to bring those together. And the keeping projects on track between different sites is been one of our biggest challenges. So if we're designing a new product, then the design team traditionally are based physically in the UK, and we have an R&D facility here. But we may be designing a product for the Australian market, so we need to involve guys in Australia, you know, up to 10 hours time difference away. And ultimately, the product will be manufactured in our Chinese facility, so we need the Chinese engineers to be involved in looking at how is it fit for manufacturing? Can we manufacture it in a cost-effective way? Can our purchasing team in China purchase the components at the correct price that we need them to do? So in the past, this has been quite a linear process. So the design's been done and finished from an engineering viewpoint in the UK. It's then been sent to China, and the cost has been not right for the market. We've got the cost right, and then we've sent it to Australia in this example, where it's been good, but it's maybe not been quite exactly what they wanted. So we've gone round this loop lots of times trying to get the right product for the right price that the customer really wants to buy. And we can very quickly lose the enthusiasm of the team and the momentum in that process. Everyone's excited about the first couple of iterations, but you know, when you've been at it for a couple of years, then the enthusiasm and the confidence of the sales teams wanes. So we've done a lot of work with technology to try and speed that process up and really make it so people are working concurrently. With just simple things like transferring drawings between the UK and China and keeping them both live, we've had to do a lot of work with yourselves on getting a link between the two sites, which is quite challenging in China, that enables the guys in China to access the live drawings in the UK. Whereas in the past, we've had major issues with different versions of drawings existing in the two sites. And then now with the constant improvements in the video conferencing on Teams, particularly the sharing of screens and the ability of people to work from home using their phones, then we're able to get Australia, China and the UK all online at the same time. And because people can access it on their phones, if you're in Australia and it's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, then people are quite happy just to take 20 minutes, half an hour to join a meeting because they're just doing it on their phone.
Yeah.
It's interrupting their whole day. They're not getting their laptop out. Mm-hmm. But we can keep control and keep everybody connected to that process.
So you're kind of having a global collaborative team.
Yes.
That's actually all working together, give or take the time zones, but almost at the same time. So absolutely. Obviously, is that shortening R&D time? Is it helping to reduce the overall costs then from an R&D perspective?
It's hugely reducing the R&D time, as in getting the right product to market much, much faster, stopping us wasting time. And it's getting the buy-in of everybody in the process much more as well. So the engineer doing the, you know, who has to design the manufacturing jigs in China isn't now presented with a set of drawings and told to get on with it because head office has decided this is the design. They're now, the culture's significantly improved because everybody is now engaged from early on in the process. Yeah. So the guy in China can make the suggestion, well, if you tweak the design, then I can weld this much more easily.
Yeah, it's funny that the guidebooks on digital transformation, they often talk about the first thing is to get all the key people involved at the start. So they have ownership and they feel involved. And there's almost an invested interest in getting it over the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's that. And that's an R&D example. We've actually got the same, we can produce similar examples on logistics. So just daily activities of how we process orders through the facility, how we actually share our stock around the world. So traditionally, each company had its own system and they owned their own stock. And we didn't have this global overview.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, particularly in these crazy shipping delays that we've got at the moment, everybody has visibility of the stock at the different sites. So if we have to express freight something, then we don't have to say, well, we have to make it from scratch in China and then fly it across. We might be able to, you know, we can identify, we can move a product from the States into Europe to satisfy customer demands. And just being able to bring everything together and have that global overview actually is quite a significant change to us. And it massively improves our working capital as well.
Yeah. So, and I suppose from a working capital perspective, you're not unnecessarily doing things. You know what's available to you there and then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And obviously, you've everyone connecting back in, if you like to, I'd call it head office, but I suppose everyone plays a key role regardless of where they're located. Do you feel that that's you, or do you see, well, that there's more we could be doing?
I think there's always more we could be doing. We've made some great steps in kind of leveling up between the sites and almost getting rid of this head office and other sites. I suppose it's a cultural shift that the technology is enabling rather than the technology driving it. One of the exciting things for us about Microsoft 365, and we started that journey about 4 years ago, and we didn't really know what we were getting into, but we thought this is the kind of way to go, is that people organically find the features that work for them. And there's lots of, we haven't, apart from right at the beginning, where we said use Teams for this and Yammer for this, and we probably haven't used Yammer for 3 years now, as far as we're concerned, that people find their own ways of working. But because it's within the whole kind of ecosystem, then it's easy to add people in, and the information is all in one place. but it's working in the best way for themselves. So we never have to give training or lessons or anything on these systems. And I think that that's probably the strongest systems where people want to educate themselves and they pick up the new features really, really quickly.
Yeah, it's almost empowering the user to say, look, there's the technology available to you. See what's going to help you because you know your role better than anyone else almost.
Absolutely.
So it's still having the guidelines in place, but technology, I would agree with you, it should be an enabler. It should give people the tools to do what they need to do quickly, efficiently.
And a lot of the things that we never thought about to improve the culture just happen organically. So on Teams, if it's somebody's birthday in Australia, then they'll put a message on the global team. And then, you know, it seems trivial, but somebody in the UK or China might then will message them back and say, happy birthday. And that whole, particularly during this time of the pandemic with people working from home and people who don't know each other feel quite connected. And there are people who will never fly, you know, 14 hours to Australia to meet their equal in that business, can have that connection. And
it's a very interesting thing because you're quite right. Whilst you guys have been multi-location and that, you know, China, Australia, USA, etc., the pandemic has forced an awful lot of businesses to be multi-location because everyone's working from home. But it's an interesting point that you've mentioned culture a few times. Do you feel it's actually the adoption of the technologies that you guys use, you know, through Office 365, the ERP, etc.? Do you find that that's helping to evolve the culture?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's helping to evolve the culture with people connecting, but we also want as many people as possible to really understand what makes the business tick. So we try to be very open with our numbers, our KPIs, and we've spent a lot of time developing Power BI type applications. So we've got lots of screens around the site and lots of screens that people can access on their computers to really show people what's important, what makes the business tick.
Yep.
Whether it be order status, and if an order turns red on a Power BI report, then everybody jumps on it and says what's going on here, or sales figures, or cash flow. There's almost a limitless number of areas that this is touched in the business, and I'm very keen that we keep developing that openness
and
business, and people really understand what matters. That's not a magic person that does the finance and a magic person that does the sales. It's all interlinked.
Because what you're really doing there, not only are you empowering employees by giving them the technology that you need, but you're actually showing an openness to say you can make a difference, you can impact something because you're sharing a lot of important information with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And one of the biggest things that for us the pandemic's forced upon us is our daily check-in meetings, which have very much become driven by the important data, the important activities in the business. So each business and teams at different levels in the businesses have a maximum 15-minute check-in every day. And even though there's a number of people on site, everyone's still connecting through Teams.
Yep.
To keep the social distancing, and it's worked. It's enabled the communication to be much better in the business than it ever was before when everyone was on site. So that planned check-in, we're going to keep going, you know, even when the pandemic's finished and most people are back on site, we'll keep doing those activities. And just some of the simple things as Teams has developed, I think we could only have four people on the screen at once when we started.
That's right. Yes.
And just being able to see people's faces different people have different characters, but for some people it's really important that they see people every day and you can see people on the screen. So that's the kind of thing that for us has been quite exciting about Teams and a new feature appears and, you know, we might try it and not use it, or we might often we'll try it and go, that's great. And it just, you sort of look back and you think, how did we cope without that before?
Yeah. Yeah. So would you say it's made probably meetings more efficient and, sharing information, people then realize the impact that they can make and the difference that they can make?
Absolutely. It's made people much more aware of the pressures and the difficulties that other individuals might be under in the business. So it tends to reduce the stress across the business, because mm-hmm. whilst people can't necessarily help each other, at least they're aware that this might be why somebody's not got back to them in 10 minutes. Normally would. And we've got an employee based in the Middle East in Dubai. So he's never actually been on site here. So he's traditionally worked on sending an email and hoping for a response, and is sat in Dubai getting frustrated if he doesn't get a response. But now, just with the daily check-in, he can quite easily go, oh, by the way, did you see that? I suppose maybe it's a little bit British, but it's a nicer way to chase somebody and a nice way to highlight what's important to you than having to send another email or another phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the whole visual thing and the instant messaging, it makes it less formal than an email, because you can infer a tone when it's not necessarily there.
Absolutely. And with the messaging side, I mean, personally, I've also found it's really useful that you can just put a thumbs up on a message, which, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I said it was just something my teenage kids did. But actually, I can put a thumbs up and goes, that means I've read the message, but I don't have to send you a nice constructed sentence back on an email that takes time to go, thank you very much. I understand. It's much, as you say, it's much quicker and instantaneous. And you can inject a little bit of fun into the day as well. You know, it doesn't have to be serious on the communication.
Well, from 8 years ago when we started working with you guys, did you think you would be where you are now in terms of what you're using? And do you feel that there's further to go?
I think 8 years ago, I saw the business system, so the ERP system side, almost as you mentioned before, as really been what IT was about. And we've always used Skype for communication, but that was just a phone replacement and actually a way of avoiding international calling charges. The video sharing element of it was kind of irrelevant for us. Mm-hmm. So it's not something we would have envisaged. I would have envisaged we would have had to get these gains by much more international travel. Mm-hmm. When you're going the distances we have to go, it can be incredibly time consuming, and what it would have resulted in is employing more staff to be. So it would have made us much less efficient as a business. In terms of where we're going, I kind of try and keep quite an open mind to it. We haven't got our grand plan, and we're sort of following where Teams and any other technology takes us. The area where we don't have the strength in the business and where yourselves support us is the infrastructure necessary to support
all that we
want to get to. So, you know, over the last few years, Joe and your other colleagues have been reminding us, you know, we need to invest in our switches and our infrastructure. And I mean, I don't, as far as I'm concerned, there's no instant feedback or there's no instant results for that investment. But we rely on you and trust you guys to tell us that this is what you need to do to invest for the next few years of what may come down the road, and keeping us ahead of the game. We had a big investment and a lot of work from you guys on developing a connection into China, so we can connect our factory directly rather than get the difficulties going through the firewalls in the Chinese government. And again, that's something I can't say what's the return on that investment. It's not like buying a new CAD system or a new ERP system, but it's suddenly when we've got that, we can now live share drawings between the sites. And it's the stuff we hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
So having you guys as a partner to remind us of that kind of stuff and sort of guide us in that way, but also leave us to get on with figuring out which bit of team we want to use ourselves. And yeah. that's what I like, that you've kind of got my back covered on the technology stuff that we don't understand that enables us to do all the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good way of putting it, because I would quite often describe when people talk about switching and Wi-Fi, it's very difficult for a business owner to see, well, what's the value to me?
Yeah.
Whereas if I say, well, if you're going to buy a house, you assume the foundations are there.
Yes.
And you know, that's what networking, Wi-Fi connectivity is. It's getting the foundations right, but it's the house that you're buying.
Yes.
And that's what you're interested in. And it's very similar to say, you know, I see our role as saying, look at this technology. You will know if it's going to benefit the business. You know, we can't tell you. We can advise, but it's almost trying to present those light bulb moments where you can go, right, that's something that would actually make a difference in the business. Yeah, I mean, that is the challenges with anything. I mean, Alistair, we've talked about this a bit, about the challenges of the pandemic, but, you know, how has it been for you guys?
Commercially for the business, it's been quite successful. We've had very strong sales, and last year was a huge growth in sales for us because our end users, as excavator operators, were essentially self-isolating when they're using their machines. And apart from a kind of period of about 6 weeks, construction really kept going. Mm-hmm. So our challenges have really been about supporting those customers quick enough. So in terms of our sales team, it was getting the phone system working off-site, which has actually proven to us that we need to move to a new phone system, and we're going to move to a team, we're adding into Teams basically.
Yeah.
So our old traditional phone system we're getting rid of, but that took probably 4 or 5 weeks to get that properly functioning with people working from home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's shown me that we need to make that investment in Teams calling. We've also had to do a lot to protect our staff that have to work on site. So the guys in the workshop, the fabrication people, you know, they need to be on site. They can't work from home.
Yeah.
So we've done things like, you know, lots of old phone handsets we've installed Teams on, and we've given them Teams calling on their handsets. So even, you know, some of the guys in the warehouse have mobiles for the company, mm-hmm. just work off the Wi-Fi. And whenever there's a question, you know, a technical question or a commercial question, they can just call up and they can show a picture of the goods or the bit of paper or whatever the discussion's about to the person who's working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those kind of gains we were sort of forced upon us by the pandemic, but are going to be with us forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's, if the person is not working from home but they're on site, it's still going to be quicker for somebody in the warehouse just to call them up on their phone. And the other good example is going paperless as well. So we've spent a number of years investing in add-ons onto Sage, the Spindle product, to try and get away from printing everything out. And that culturally, that was a really hard shift for people, particularly in the finance side. They like that physical bit paper. Of paper. But almost within a week of the whole finance team having to work from home, that spindle system was fully utilized and up and running, and really, I guess it's a needs must situation, but it really got that over the line, to the point where last week we threw out our remaining filing cabinets, and you know, that's we're never going to reverse that cultural change.
Yeah. So if you like, because it's interesting, we felt the same going from three offices to 103, that the pandemic forced changes to happen quicker. Yeah. And likewise for you, it actually made things more efficient.
Absolutely.
I suppose needs must, it's a great master.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was, I also found it interesting culturally. To begin with, we had sort of quizzes for the whole company every week, and, you know, teams picnics and all that kind of stuff. And after, I would say, about 6 weeks, sort of, I think probably the whole nation got a bit quizzed out after a few weeks, but after 6 weeks, people were actually, the participation went from near 100% to about 30%. And people actually saying, well, do we have to come? Because yeah. We're getting the interaction through the daily check-ins and the fact that everyone was calling on Teams rather than on a voice call.
Yeah.
And it kind of became a new normal very quickly.
Very good. Well, listen, I'm going to finish on two questions. Could I ask, if you were to describe experience, us, your IT partner, in one word, what word would you use?
Reliable, I would say.
Okay, thank you for that. And what takeaways would you give to another organization? What have you learned that you'd say, look, these are things to consider if you're implementing change or bringing new technologies into the business?
That's a good question. I think be open. Don't try and plan too much.
Right. Baby steps.
Yeah. Well, I suppose don't have a 3-year plan for what you want to do, because and learn from what other people in different industries do. So we started, you probably edit this bit out, but we kind of started down the road of 365 and using Teams, because at the time my sister worked in a startup company in Soho in London that was, you know, very internet savvy, selling travel products online. And, you know, we were chatting and I thought, oh, she's doing all this stuff because she works for a startup in IT or in online. And then when she explained what the product she was using were, I thought, well, why does that not work for a pretty traditional, almost metal bashing business like us? And of course it does. So I always try and connect and keep an eye on people that are possibly more at the cutting edge of these things than our industry would be.
Yeah.
And it gives us that, keeps us on the front foot. I don't need to be a first adopter, but if I'm adopting ahead of the rest of my industry, then I'm well ahead of the game.
So it's almost keep an eye on what others are doing, and not necessarily in your own industry.
Absolutely.
But what others are doing, because there's things that they might be, because you're quite right, we can all be siloed in our thinking.
Yeah.
And we do it this way because we've always done it this way.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we invested, we took a guy, Ryan, in the business who had worked in operations. And we essentially took him offline for a couple of years just to look at our processes. And he had a bit of an IT background anyway, but to try and make us more efficient. And that was, at the time, that was quite an investment
for us,
on what there's no return on that investment to begin with. And a lot of people were, you know, what's this guy doing for us? So there's a little bit, be brave in that area.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Yes, be brave, because as you say, it's not, you're not going to see an immediate return.
No.
But then over time, it's those incremental changes that they maybe bring in that make you more efficient, and the ideas that they maybe spark that makes you think, yep,
absolutely. Yeah.
We should look at that.
Yeah.
Well, Alistair, firstly, thank you so much for giving us the time and sharing so much. It's been really enjoyable. And before we started this off, we said about it was probably about 15, 16 months before when we last met. So I'm looking forward to bumping elbows or bumping fists to say hello again face to face. But listen, thank you so much, Alistair.